Greetings and welcome to the Snowman's Scripting Laboratory here as we take an informal walk through some of the aspects of JLS utilities. This walkthrough is intended for people who are really into scripting and kind of know the way around that environment and understand windows and what have you, window structures and that sort of thing. So we'll get rather technical as we talk about these things. This is a set of utilities that is designed to help you develop scripts for your various applications, and it is linked into the default scripts through a use statement and by adding some keys to your default key map. And all of the functions of the utilities, or at least almost all of them, are accessed by holding down the Control, Alt, and Windows modifiers all at once and then pressing various keys. So when I say utility key, I mean holding down those three modifiers. Practically everything does that. And of course, you can change the key map assignments in your own setting if you like. This is like home row mode on steroids, believe it or not. It's that plus a whole lot more. We can move from one window to the next. For example, I have Notepad open here, and I have the file open dialog, a very, very simple, simplistic kind of environment, but it's something that I can have several child windows and can at least show you how this works. It's like home row mode in the sense that it is a handle, a global handle that you move around from one window to the next, but it's different in terms of the extra things it'll let you do. Plus, it also does not set the handle for you automatically under any circumstances. You decide where that goes. So you can leave it in places and change your focus somewhere else and still reference that other window, find out if it's visible, read control information or text from that window, even though you're not focused there anymore. And that could be completely in a different application. There are several ways to initialize this handle. At least one of them is the numpad enter key. I'm focused right now on the edit box where you type in the file name, and I've typed the word dog in there just for the heck of it. So if I push the utilities enter, it says I'm on an edit. Now, I can choose what gets spoken, much like you do with home row mode. We use the numpad plus and minus here to cycle through the things that you can speak, and after it says what it's going to say, it also says it.
Type and text. Dog. Subtype code is 3.
Subtype code is 3, huh?
Type. Edit. Highlighted text. Handle. 2652. Control ID. 1152.
So that's the way that works. Now, I've left it on control ID. Well, let's put it back to class here.
Real window. Name. Class.
Okay, so now it'll say class as I move around. Like if I do the left arrow on the numpad, it'll move to the prior window. Right arrow is the next window, and up would be the parent, and down would be the first child. If I do a down arrow,
not found.
Says there's nothing there because we don't have any children. Go left.
Static.
That's the prior window. There's a static. What text is in that?
Type of subtype code. Type of text. File name.
It says file name, and that's the prompt for this little field that I'm focused on. I just found it. So now as we move right, we'll go back to
dog.
See, that's the dog and left.
File name.
Prior window. Does this guy have a child?
Not found.
Down arrow said no. Well, one neat thing is that I can turn on sounds here.
Sounds enabled.
And that will now beep if it finds a window that has a child. Back to my edit.
Dog.
He has no child.
File name.
File name has no child.
There we go.
There's a guy that has a child. Several of them, probably. Let's find out what the
class
is here.
Shell
DLLFView. Shell DLLFView or something like that. Don't know what it said exactly. If I press the numpad 5, utilities numpad 5,
Shell
DLLFView. It repeats that. If I double-click that,
pause for Windows message box dialog. Shell.
I'll explain the crashing sounds in a second. It's because we have sounds on, and I want to turn them off for the moment. Now I've got, when it brought that up, it put up a JAWS message box. Now we have the actual spelling of this class, and I can go look at it with the JAWS cursor one character at a time if I want.
File name,
I press space bar to dismiss that message box, but now that class name is on my clipboard, so I can go over to the script manager and just paste it. Don't have to type it in. In fact, I could have done this operation while I was in the script manager because my handle is still going to be pointed to this window right here, whatever it is. So, Let's back up a second and talk about control IDs. Are you back to control ID?
Handle. Control ID 1121.
Okay, and let's go back to where we were.
1152.
The 1152 control ID is the edit that where I typed in the word dog. I can also put the mouse there, for example.
Pause the PC.
And let me get my Braille display focused in here. For some reason, it wasn't on. Okay.
Jaws, the PC,
all right. So now we're in the dog. We've got the Jaws cursor on dog. And let's say that the utilities were somewhere else.
PC, G-O-D.
Let's say let's face move them away. Okay, I moved it clear away so the utility handle is not pointed at this dialogue or this edit box anymore. And I want to move the utility handle to where the mouse is. I can sure do that. So I'm mousing around, finding things on the screen, and I want to know what window is that. Well, I can push a key and find out.
Edit.
And it moved me back to that edit. Well, let's see what the control ID was.
Subtype code, free type of text, last name, real name, control ID, 1152.
1152, that's the one we wanted. So you can do that. It's kind of like root JAWS to PC now becomes root JAWS to utility handle. Or you can do the same with the invisible cursor, root invisible to the utility handle. You can also root the utility handle to wherever the cursor is, just like we did just seconds ago. So let's say that we want to search by control ID. We know that that guy is 1152. Let's go to the parent window.
Zero.
His control ID is zero. Presumably he has a bunch of children. Let's go down again.
1091
is his first child.
1130, 1088, 1120, 1120, 1090, 1152, 1089.
Yep, 1152 is in there. I just happened to be arrowing right until I found it.
Zero.
But we could also be back up here at the parent, and let's type in utility F.
Dialog, enter control ID, edit.
And type in 1152.
Found control ID 1152, file name, edit, dog.
By golly, we found it, and then it put me back into the application that said file name edit dog, but the text of this guy
type of text, dog.
Is dog. That's what we thought. So that allowed us to search by control ID, and that basically can help you decide whether find descendant window is going to work, going to be able to find the control ID you want, or to find a starting point that will allow find descendant window to search appropriately and find it. You can also search for the control ID again. There's a key to repeat the last search, so you can try different starting points and see if it works. You can push the backspace. Utility's backspace key will put you back where you were before you did the search. And when I say where you were, I'm talking about the utility handle itself and where it's pointed. Sometimes routing is a lot more complicated than that. We're still talking about crawling through the Windows hierarchy to find things. And sometimes you have a handle of something and you know that there is related information in another window, but getting to that window can be fairly complicated. In this case, it's a trivial example, but it isn't always. And there are other ways of doing it. You can use your JAWS cursor and mouse around the screen, go two words right and down one line, and maybe you're there. And sometimes that kind of thing fails. You can use frames, and as you know, sometimes they don't continue to work, and nobody knows why, even though you get the qualification information carefully engineered. It doesn't always work. Sometimes you have to crawl through the hierarchy of the Windows structure to get to a point. And I had an example where I had focus on one window, and I wanted to get to this other window that had related information, and it was quite a ways away. And so I developed a piece of code to wander through the structure itself and figure out the routing path to get there. Let's see how that works. We will do this trivial example here. Again, we're starting at the 1152, which was the dog.
1152.
And let's go. Let's get our sounds on.
Sounds enabled. 1090.
Left arrow once.
1121.
There's a guy who got a child. We'll go down once.
One.
Let's go down again.
Zero.
We even found out where we are. We think we're down two levels from the 1152, and we're left a couple. We got keys to tell us that.
Four windows down from the top window.
Yep. So we're four windows deep from the application main window, and on this peer level,
this is the first window.
We found that out. So if we had 50 peers, we'd know exactly which one we were on. What I want to do is find the route to get from this place I've placed the utility handle over to the word dog.
Dog.
JAWS cursor is
dog.
On the word dog. So the deal is you get the utilities pointed in the starting point, and you get the JAWS cursor at the ending point, and then we'll figure out the routing list for you. Let's make that happen.
Pause for Windows message box dialog. Up to next to OK button.
Let's look at this message box.
Pause for PC.
Whoops, turn the sounds off.
Sounds
disabled. Got to explain that someday, don't I?
Pause. Up to next to.
Up to next to. That's the language that it uses to describe to people what you have to do to get there. It says either back or next for going to prior or next windows on the peer level, up to parent, and obviously down to the first child. We would have to go up to the grandparent and right to. And that's pretty much what we remember in this trivial example here. So let's push enter to get the OK button on that.
OK button.
We get another message box. This one says,
let group equals get focus left there and right to home.
Now this looks like code. And it's written in my style, and it's it says let grip equal get focus, and that line you might need to change because it depends on how you learn the starting point in your particular situation. In my case, it was get focus, and you can replace that with something else. And then it goes
let grip equals get parent left parent grip right parent.
Let's slow that down so you can follow a little bit here.
Slower.
All right, so we got focus.
Let grip equals get parent left parent grip right parent.
Grip is the handle.
Let grip equals get parent left parent grip right
parent. So we got two get parents.
Let grip equals get next window left parent grip right parent. Let grip equals get next window left parent grip right parent.
And two get next window calls. So this piece of code would navigate from the starting point to what we specified was the ending point. And now that I dismiss this message box.
Easy.
That code is now on my clipboard and I can go right over to the script manager and just paste it in. Very, very, very nice. And actually, sometimes that can be a fairly obnoxious looking piece of code with, depending on how complex the routing path is, you can have 20 get next windows in a row. And you might think, well, let's write a loop and just do it, just have one call and write it many times, you know, have the loop execute it many times. And that's easier to read, but it's slower to execute, oddly enough, so you make your choice, I guess. But that anyway, that rough code will get you there. Okay, let's talk about the sounds. I'll put put the cursor back on the word dog, which was in the file name edit box. And let's turn sounds on.
Sounds enabled.
And now let's do some left and right arrow with the JAWS cursor, and we'll hear some additional noises, and I'll tell you what they mean.
Land.
I went left arrow. I'll go left arrow again.
Land.
Hear the little drum?
Land.
As JAWS says blank, that drum, think of it as a tribal drum noise.
Land.
That means that we crossed from the window, one window, into a peer level window. Family. Tribes. So, we're in a peer level window. And it's the one that has the file name prompt in it. Which we can learn all kinds of things about if we choose to do that. Let me see. How do we do it?
1090.
That's control ID 1090. And
1152 1090.
He's right next door. We just learned that by doing the utilities left and right arrow there. So the prompt is in the prior window. That was a useful piece of information to know. A lot of times you don't know where the prompt is. Well, okay, now let's move back to the word dog.
Dog.
So the JAWS cursor is on the D of dog, and we have replaced the mouse movement keys, and which is Shift Alt left and right arrow. Let's first go into home row mode and slow it down so that it moves one pixel per keystroke.
On.
There's home row mode, left arrow.
2, 1.
Set it to 1 pixel per.
Off.
Home row mode is off, and that's their standard home row mode we're using there. Okay, now, as I move the mouse with Shift Alt left arrow, I'm going to creep 1 pixel at a time to the left, and I'll hear a beep if the color changes, and I'll hear other noises if we cross a window boundary. So we can, and then if, in fact, if we stop, it'll tell us the color information. And a name if it knows it, and just in the number if it doesn't know the name.
White 1, 6, 7, 7, 7, 2, 1.
All right, so it's telling me the number for white, this particular kind of white anyway. So I can repeat that with the numpad 5, and I can put it in a message box and on the clipboard with a double-click numpad 5 if I like, because sometimes you want to take these color numbers and put them in your script information, and that's the way you get it easily. Let's do this. So we want 1 pixel left from the word dog, and we'll just do that a few more times here.
White.
More white.
Black, zero.
There is a change to black.
8, 4.
Another change to an unknown color.
Gray, 1.
Ooh, did you hear that lady kissing him? That's mama kissing her baby boy, and that means that you just went to the parent window. Let's go back right again.
8.
Now you're back in the child. So there's the boundary between mama and child right there.
Gray,
left arrow.
1.
And now let's go left arrow again.
Gray, 1.
Hey, that's back in the child. But is it the same child? Let me see here. Let's find out about it.
1090.
Oh, that's control ID 1090. Well, we remember that one. That was the control ID of the prompt. In fact, we can make it say the type and text if we want here.
Remit last type and text file name colon.
Yep.
Remit control ID 10.
So we know that it's positioned right to the left of the dog, and we know, interestingly enough, that for some reason, in between these two peer levels is a little tiny narrow strip of the parent window.
8.
Okay, ain't that cute? Now, if we suddenly, what should we do? Let's go totally to the top of the dialogue.
8 talking 2 point.
There we go. We left the crashing glass, said we left the family altogether. That means the window we landed in, whatever it is, isn't a parent, and it's not one of our children, and it's not a peer level. So those sounds kind of help you figure out where you've gone and what you are finding as you move around.
Sounds disabled. Jaws.
All right, let's put the Jaws cursor back on the dog.
Jaws to PC. Dog.
And let's look at bookmarks here. You can mark this position on the screen for various purposes. For one thing, I can do is just have a temporary mark for the Jaws cursor if I push the utilities M.
Jaws marker recorded.
And now I can take the Jaws cursor clear to the top of the screen to the
open dialog help symbol, close symbol.
Top of that dialog, and now the N key will put it right back on the dog.
Jaws cursor moved to marker.
All right, moved it to the
dog.
The word dog, by golly, right on the D of dog. So that's handy if you are exploring around the screen and you want to keep track of some anchor point and get back there. And complex pages, that can really, really save you a lot of time mucking around. Also, a moment ago I told you about this ability to explore colors, and that's really handy for cases where they put a custom check mark to the left of something that you can't find as a graphic. You can a lot of times find a color change there that you can look for. And labeling the point at which that special color mark occurs can be kind of tedious, and so we do that. Let's label. Just for the moment, we'll label the word dog, the D of dog. If I just push the utilities L.
Jaws cursor active 225, 388. Label cursor position dialog. Enter location name edit.
I'll call it dog. Why not? Should be, because it is.
File name.
All right, that put me back in the notepad open dialog, really. And it added a label to a list of labels, which I can continue to add to. I can move around the screen with my Jaws or invisible cursor, and I can find other points of interest, and I can push utilities L, and I can make this growing list of labels that I want to paste into my script file at some point. Right now, I will cancel the file open dialog, and now we're back in the main edit window of Notepad, and I'll paste the clipboard so we can look at what got generated for this single label we did. We will now copy that to the clipboard with the utilities C key.
Location copy to clipboard.
And we can go to the script manager and do pasting into our constant section if we like. But for now, I'll close
edit.
The file open dialog, and we're back in the main edit window of Notepad, and I'll paste it here so we can look at it. And I go to the top of the file. Now, there are a bunch of labels that are all dog underscore something, and I'll tell you what they mean here. The underscore H and underscore V. We got dog underscore H and dog underscore V there.
Dog H equals 12.
And numbers that associate with those, and let's see, H and V are horizontal and vertical window relative components. Window relative is a term that I made up, and it has to do with percentages of the window width and height. The idea being that as you scale a window, resize a window, that things should scale proportionately. And something that's directly in the middle of the window when it's totally maximized will still be directly in the middle of the window when it's normal. Sometimes that doesn't work, but if it does, you can use these window relative coordinates to do that. and they are in tenths of percent. So 1.12 would be 1.2% of the way from the left side to the right side for dog underscore H.
Dog.
And
dog B equals 500.
For dog underscore V, the vertical component, 500 means 50 or 50%. So he's right in the middle vertically. And then there's a function in Window Navigator that you get with a script that lets you use these constants to position inside that window. You also have to provide the handle of the window and that sort of thing. And you can decide whether you want to click there, and you can look at the function, how it works. We also have dog underscore AX.
Dog X equals 225. Dog A equals 380.
And dog AY. And these are absolute screen edge relative pixel numbers. So
dog Z equals 1150.
We also dog underscore CID is the control ID. That's 1152. That's there. And dog underscore TYP is the type, and it's an edit.
Dog STC equals 3.
And the subtype code is the STC. So that's it. And all of those constants now describe that point, and you can use some or all of them to help locate it. Just grabbed it all and put it on there for you, and you can paste it into your constant section. And that's a nice way to label a point on the screen and be able to get at it. All right, let's bring the file open dialog back alive here. Throw that away.
Open dialog.
Put dog back in the little edit dealie, so we got a familiar
G-O-D
starting point. We can learn other things about this window. Let's get a detailed report about it.
Disabled window is not visible horizontally from 0 to 0, vertically from 0 to 0.
It's not visible. Why isn't it visible? Oh, because I know why it isn't, because I haven't put the utility handle there. I put the JAWS cursor there, but
edit.
Now we're there. Now we can get the details on that.
Disabled window is visible and is not obscured horizontally from 222 to 455, vertically from 378 to 398.
So we got all the details about that window. We know where it is in the structure.
Two windows down from the top window. Six windows from the first window.
And what else do we know about it? What else do you want to know this?
Name is file name, window text is dog, highlighted text is type and text is file name, edit dog, focus object, file name, edit dog.
Yeah, so anyway, we could slow that down and you could decode that a little bit, but it told you the name and it told you the text in the window. Kind of a single keystroke way of doing many of the things that you can do if you change the thing to be spoken here and explore the various things manually. Let's find out. Now that our cursor is on the dog, isn't it?
Dog. O-D-D.
Yep, the D of dog.
O-D-O-D.
Let's find out where that cursor position is inside this window. I think we have keys for that.
10 pixels from the top. 50.0%.
That's because this window is pretty small, isn't it? It's a little bitty edit box. And?
3 pixels from the left side. 1.2%.
It's a little bitty tiny box. And as you heard from this other detail here.
Disabled window is visible, comma, and is not obscured, period, horizontally from 222 to 455, vertically from 378 to 398.
So it's a nice big long edit box is what it is, and we're only 1.2% away across it with the beginning character there of D. So
10 pixels from the top, 50.0%.
Yeah, and there's only one line of text in it, so that's why we're right in the middle. So we learned about where we are inside that, and again, that's just inside this window. The one that contains the cursor. What you would get if you called get current window. Oh, you know about chunks. Text chunks, as defined by JAWS, are bits of text that were written to the screen in a single operation, sort of when the OSM learned about it, I guess. We could deal with chunks here. Again, we're just using the get chunk and get prior chunk and get next chunk to do this, but we have keys that will say get the current chunk, and my mouse is on the D of dog, so I would expect to hear dog, but I can use these other keys to get prior chunk.
File name colon. Scroll right symbol. Scroll left symbol. My shared folder. Program file.
And I'm just moving that's what get prior chunk would get you, and then we can do get next chunk and get back to dog.
My shift scroll left scroll right file name dog.
And it's moving the mouse cursor as I do that, so different things are showing up in the Braille display, in
file
fact,
name,
as I'm sitting here doing that. Also, to kind of help in the process of labeling graphics, you know, a lot of times the graphic will look one way if a mouse cursor is on it, and it'll look another way if it's not. In fact, so much so that the label won't actually apply if you put the mouse cursor on it and then label it, and then you move the mouse cursor away and do find graphic, you won't find it. So we really need to label it twice, once with the mouse cursor on it, once with it not. Well, let's pretend that the word dog here is a graphic. Just for convenience, all right? And I'm going to activate the invisible.
Top invisible.
And put it at the top of the window.
Shade up, home.
So it's just completely out of the way. It's just it's just somewhere else. We don't even know where this stupid thing is. Oh, it's up there on the open.
Open dialog, help symbol, close symbol.
Right. It's on that top line there. But the Jaws cursor
Jaws.
Is still here on the word dog. Our pretend graphic. So we can label it. And then we'll use the utilities X key to swap these two.
Invisible cursor.
Now we got the invisible cursor alive, and it's on the word
dog.
Dog. Our graphic. So now we can label it again, and then we push the X key.
Jaws cursor.
And we're back to the Jaws cursor. So what it's doing actually is exchanging those two cursors. When I have the invisible cursor active here,
invisible cursor.
And it's on the word dog,
dog.
We could activate the Jaws cursor with just a
Jaws.
Typical Jaws command and find it.
Open dialog, help symbol, close symbol.
We're up there at the top. So that swapping will help you label your graphics two different ways rather easily. Well, you can go to a location on the screen manually if we really want to do that. For example, if I practice here, I can probably learn the coordinates of this D of dog.
Jaws cursor active 225-388.
225-388. Okay, can you remember that? 225-388. Let's put this thing at the top of the screen.
Open dialog, help symbol, close symbol.
Jaws cursor up there. And let's do the...
Go to absolute location dialog, enter.
I say it's going to... Sorry, I canceled the speech. It wants me to type in 225 and 388.
Cursor move. File name, edit, dog.
And by golly,
dog.
We're on the word dog again. So once you know the coordinates, you can type them in if you like. And you can also type in the window relative numbers. If you see them in your script file and you want to go there, you can put them into a dialog. And we have a key to directly take you to that position. All right, the one last thing that I guess I'll show you. We haven't really done everything here, but there's an expanded version of virtualize real window. That function does exist in Jaws, and basically all it does is take the text of a real window and put it in the virtual viewer. But this one tries to make a little more sense of it, and it's another tool to help you puzzle out what actually is going on inside a real window. Let's activate it here.
Virtualize window open.
Alright, I did it, and we're now in the virtual viewer, and let's read this thing one line at a time. And you'll see that we're actually taking horizontal slices of the real window and just putting them on the screen. Sometimes that reads two pieces of text that have nothing to do with one another. But in some cases, we get links. Because this version of that function has tried to figure out what's a message, or what's a button, what's an edit box that could be focused on, and it'll call those things links and let you actually go there if you want. For example, let me back out of this a second and prove to you it works.
File name, edit, dog.
We're back. I just threw that away by escape, and I'm going to take my Jaws cursor away.
Easy.
No. Let's take focus away from the word dog.
Files of type, open button, cancel button.
Pressing the tab key. So now we're focused on the cancel button in that file open dialog, and we'll re-virtualize it here.
Virtualize window open.
And let's read this a little bit. One line at a time with a down arrow.
Open. Link click open.
It said link click open. Did you hear that?
Slow, slower.
That's the open button, and we could click that if we want. And if we push enter here, that's going to go click it. Let's down arrow some more to find it. I'll just go past some text here.
Look at link focus, my documents. Kate talking 2.23 bug.txt. Messenger service received files casco.file name dog open. Link focus dog.
There it is. Link focus dog. So if I push enter on this, it should bail out of the virtual viewer and put focus back on the edit box where we wanted it to be.
File name edit dog.
And it does. So that was kind of a neat way to get a view of the real window and what's actually in there and pick pieces of it and get to them. In case you can't tab to them. Sometimes you can't. Want to hear a list of the hotkeys available? We can do utility key H and hear that.
Use your arrow keys to explore this help and press escape the closest box unless otherwise specified. All hotkeys use the Alt plus Control plus Windows modifier combination and unless otherwise noted are on the numpad. Dialog. List box. Read the help documentation in your web browser equals F1. Slow, slower. Read the help documentation in your web browser equals F1. Set home row window to window with focus equals numpad enter.
Home row window is the same as the utility window. I think it's a term that I used when I first started these.
Move to prior window equals numpad left arrow. Move to next window equals numpad right arrow. Move to parent equals numpad up arrow. Move the first child equals numpad down arrow. Choose what is spoken equals numpad plus and minus keys. Say window type and text equals page down. Repeat last item spoken equals numpad 5. Double click to place item in message box.
And put it on the clipboard. Didn't have room to say that.
Count windows from first tier level window equals numpad end key. Count levels down from top level window equals numpad home key. Move utility window to where mouse is located equals insert plus numpad plus. Move mouse to utility window equals insert numpad minus. Set application focus to current utility window equals numpad page up. List visit.
This one here, I didn't demonstrate that, but that will try to do a set focus. And if your application can do it, then it will put focus on that window. It may not, however, it depends on what it is you try to focus on.
List visibility status and edge coordinates equals F12. Speak present chunk equals extended end key. Place mouse before using this. Place present chunk in the message box equals double click extended end key. Speak prior chunk equals extended page up. Move the mouse. Speak next chunk equals extended page down. Move the mouse. Create routing list window to window extended home key. Place mouse in destination window HR and source window. Distance from mouse to left or right side of window whichever is least equals alt plus windows plus extended delete. Distance from mouse to top or bottom of window whichever is least equals control plus windows plus extended delete. To move mouse and speak color at point use shift plus alt with the numpad arrow keys. To repeat color at mouse cursor use shift plus alt plus numpad 5. Double click to say color field. Control amount of mouse movement with each arrow key. Enter home row and use left and right arrow keys. Move mouse or invisible cursor to window relative location equals R. Move mouse or invisible cursor to absolute location equals G. Mark present location, jaws are invisible equals M. Return jaws are invisible to marked location equals N. Label present cursor location equals L adds to the growing list. Copy list of labeled locations to clipboard equals C clears the list. Speak utilities version number equals Q. Exchange jaws and invisible cursors equals X. Start monitoring for created window equals W. Call HR capture new window from window created event.
That's handy for those things that, jump up and then disappear all of a sudden. You can capture them while they were present and get all of the information about them so that you can script for that event that happens so quickly that you can't stop it and actually do any exploring.
Search downward for control it equals F, then type in the control ID. Repeat previous control ID search equals F3. Return to original window after search equals backspace. Convert hex to decimal equals 4. First char is dash for negative numbers.
If you don't know what hexadecimal mode is, then you don't really care about that. But if you're into hexadecimal arithmetic, kind of a handy feature to have.
Convert decimal to hex equals 8. First char is dash for negative numbers. To position mouse at edge of HR window, use extended left, right, up and down arrows. Double click to center on that edge. Virtualize real window equals V.
This one here.
To position mouse at edge of HR window, use extended left, right, up and down arrows. Double click to center on that edge.
This is the one I was telling you about in the HTML file where you can use the extended left arrow to move the mouse horizontally to line up with the left edge of the utility handle. And it won't disturb the vertical component. It'll just stay positioned vertically as it is, only move horizontally to line up with that edge. So that can be in the window or be above it or below it, just lined up with the left edge. Or likewise, you can use the right arrow to do the right edge. And that's good for mapping from edit windows up to a title bar.
Virtualize real window equals V. Speak object value equals O. Double click to copy to clipboard. End of list.
So those are some of the things that utilities can do, and there are others, but mostly it's designed to save you time and to help you get at the underlying stuff, and I love them. That's the first thing I wire up now that I've got these, when I get a new version of JAWS, because developing without them, it's not something I want to experience. I just gotta have it.